Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Matthew 15, 22. And behold, a woman of Cana, a Gentile woman, a street-walking woman, a woman of the world, came out of the same coast and cried unto Jesus, unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Why? It's my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. She's bothering me, bothering you. We can't even talk around her with her talking up. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, speaking to this Gentile woman. I came for my own children. And here you're crying to me about your children. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. I imagine it wasn't one time. It was, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And she just began to worship him by saying, Lord, you have the power to help me. Please help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs like you, Gentiles. And she said, Truth, you're right, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Whew, hallelujah. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, woo, great is thy faith. I couldn't even push you away. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Ooh, hallelujah. Mark wrote it this way. And she answered and said unto him, Lord, yet the dogs under the table, eat the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. Ooh, hallelujah. Even the dogs under the table get blessings like this. I want to preach for a little while this morning soliciting a miracle. Soliciting a miracle. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity to solicit you and come to you. We've heard praise reports, Lord, of people that have received things, and the reason they received them was because they solicited you. They asked for them and they received it. Thank you, Lord, that you do these things for dogs like us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Briefly, I want to talk about, we're all human and we all make mistakes and we all make errors. And briefly, I want to try to help you understand the difference between a mistake and an error. There is somewhat of a technical, we use them interchangeable, but there really is a difference. A mistake is when you truly thought something was a certain way. It's a mistake, okay? You thought it was a certain way, but it really wasn't. Have you ever mistaken someone for someone else, right? You went up to them and said, Hey, how's the fishing? Oh, you're not Joe. No, but he looked like Joe. Now, that may embarrass me a little while, but he said, Oh, it's okay. I've made the same. And so, mistake is when you mistake something. And you were wrong, but you thought you were right. And that's a lot easier to live with than an error. An error is when they play baseball, there's no runs, no hits, and one error. And the error is given to the player who, although difficult, and although it made a funny bounce, he should have caught it. And so there's a group of people that analyze this, and they say, give him an error. Because even though it was hit fast and hit the ground, it was still, he should have been capable. And he gets an error. It's a lot harder, my brothers and sisters, to know you could have done something and you didn't do it. And it becomes an error. And what happens is, James even talked about, we err from the truth. We err from the truth. We make errors. We leave the truth and go off and do other things. And what happens is that's a lot harder to live with than I was just mistaken. And there's truth. Sometimes people even get married and there's mistaken identities in marriage. Well, I thought you were. And Lord, found out you're not, you know. But it's one thing to know when you're going into a relationship that this is a bum. And he's not going to provide for me. He don't really love me, but I just won't get out of the house. That, my friend, is an error. There's no mistake. It's an error. And it's harder to deal with your errors than it is your mistakes. But I'm here to tell you that we have a God that understands it all, the mistakes and the errors. To him, he's just as easy to forgive you of an error as he is a mistake. To him, there is no difference. Amen. Because he is able to restore you no matter how you got broken in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mistakes, sometimes they cannot be avoided, but errors can be avoided. And perhaps the greatest error that we make in living for God is when we know to do good and doeth it not. The Bible says to him it is sin. It becomes an error and a blemish. One error, two errors, three errors, because we know what we need to do. And sometimes we do it, we don't do it even in spite of that. Wow. Living for God, sometimes we think we've got it made. You know, the greatest error that you will make in your walk with Christ is to think you're saved and not be saved. He said, he that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And so the greatest mistake or error, I should say, that we make as many times is we think that we are, but we really know in our heart we're not living right. And somehow you err from the truth of salvation and you do wrong thinking, well, I'm saved, praise the Lord, no matter what I do. One time one person told me, and this is a doctrine among many, once saved, you're always saved, right? I believe that doctrine. I believe that once you get to heaven and you're saved, you will always be saved. You cannot be lost. Once you're there, you're there. But once you're, quote unquote, we use the term saved, not really knowing. None of us has finished our journey yet. Judas probably thought he was saved. Look at how it ended. Was Judas saved? The Bible says he was the son of perdition. So the son of pulling back. And so what happens many times is we think that we're saved and we err from that. And one time one person told me, he said, he was telling me of you know, that once you're saved, you're always saved. And I said, so I can just go out and start messing around with women and I can do drugs, I can do whatever I want to do. Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. And I said, well, wait a minute. You're telling me once I'm saved, I'm always saved, but yet you're telling me, but I can't go out and do those things? Well, you know, it's unexplainable because it's not real. It's not true. The Bible says we strive to make our calling and election sure. Amen. You're not sure who's going to win this election. You get a vote. But one day we'll find out, right? And it's the same way in living for God. We strive. We're working at this thing. If there's no work involved with it, then let's quit now. Let's just quit. But we're learning. You're here today. Why? You're still trying to be saved. You're still wanting to maintain your salvation. And so the greatest error that many times we can get is to believe we're saved and we're not, and to believe we know this. And we say, well, I don't need to go to church. I know that verse. I know that scripture. I'm sick of hearing that parable. He's taught that parable three times. But I'm here to tell you, you've probably never heard me teach the same thing twice. Yet I've taught the same parable, and yet I've used the same verse and never taught it twice. Why? Because inside the Word of God is manifold wisdom. There is many interpretations, and what the old-timers read in one day meant something to them. What we read today means something to us. And 20, 30 years from now, what they read will mean something to them. You never extract. It is a well of living water. You never extract everything out of the book. Amen. But to believe that I know that and I don't need church, I don't need God, I don't need to know any more about the Bible because I know the Bible, you are making a big error. Amen. And it's dangerous to think that you are satisfied in something. One of the most dangerous things is to be satisfied. Because once you're satisfied, you lose the expectation of something greater. You get satisfied and you become complacent. And it's dangerous to think you know the word of the Lord when you hadn't really lived it out yet. Amen. Satisfaction brings about a condition called lethargy. lethargic. You get to where, I'm satisfied. So you don't work at it. Many businesses, especially self-employed people, they do great for a lot of, well, they're hustling, they're getting the business, all that. And then they reach a level where they get satisfied. And once they get satisfied, they don't realize it's going down. Pastors can do that. Well, we got 120 come. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. And before long, it's 100, and then it's 85, and then it's. You have to keep working at this thing. And satisfaction brings upon a lethargy, and that's what the Lord condemned the church of the new church of Laodicea. They were full of lethargy. They thought they were rich and had need of nothing. He said, little do you know, you are blind, you're wretched, you're poor, and you're naked, and you don't even know it. Why? They got complacent. And I'm afraid you and I, if we get complacent, we're not going to grow anymore. The disciples thought they would just wait on tables and preach in Jerusalem when he commissioned them to go ye into the uttermost parts of the earth. But they got into Jerusalem and they were like, oh, that's pretty cool. Praise the Lord. What time's supper tomorrow night? And they just got to waiting on tables and they were, oh, basking in the love of Christ. And they were all having a new day at Pentecost every day. And the Lord sent something called persecution. Why? The church wasn't growing. It quit growing. And so he sent persecution. And Paul goes to Ephesus, and this one goes this way, and this one goes that way, and brought in works, brought in churches. And let me tell you, if you get too complacent, he knows how to put you on your knees. Because you'll get so complacent, you quit praying, you quit reading your Bible, you quit thinking you need God. But he knows how to make you pray. He knows how to get your attention. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to be satisfied with where I'm at. Amen. And you have to be careful that other people don't woo you into complacency. They'll woo you in to a place of satisfaction, and they become your enemy of progression. You don't progress any further because they wooed you. Oh, it's okay. It worked for me. It's good. And sometimes people marry who they really don't want to marry because somebody else said, well, that's a good man there. You better not let him pass you by. He's a good man. You don't live with him. You're not the one living with him. And other people woo you into situations, but you got to live with the situation. And so we have to be careful of these people that trying to bring us comfort, you know, and really what they're doing is destroying you. The treasures of God, my brothers and sisters, must be sought. All the parables, they found it in the field. He was already looking for pearls, and he found the pearl of great price. He was trying to trade pearls to get more pearls. The talents, more talents. But the one that got complacent, well, bless God, I got a talent. I'm afraid I'm going to lose it, so I'll just put it in my pocket here. And when the Lord comes back, I'm going to give him back his talent. He called him a wicked and a slothful servant. He got complacent. He got at ease, the Bible says, in Zion. The Bible says, woe to those that get at ease in Zion. People that are full are hard to feed. People that are full are hard to feed. How about some of this? No, I don't think so. What? No, I don't want anything. I'm not hungry. But you give me somebody that's hungry. Oh, I love to preach to hungry folks. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. I don't care if it's one or two. You can just look at people's eyes and see if they're hungry or not. Hungry eyes. A man had a friend that came by his house. I'm talking about soliciting a miracle. A man had a friend come by his house, and he didn't have anything to feed him. So he said, I'll go to my friend's house. Well, it wasn't his friend. Right? But he had a friend, so he goes to his friend's house and he knocks on the door. At midnight, hey, what do you want? My friend's hungry and I don't have anything to feed him. Go away. My children are at bed. And you know, back then they put the bed against the door. That was their security system. No one could come in without them knowing it. He had the bed up against the door. We're in bed. Go away. Hey, I got a friend, he's hungry. I said go away. Hey, I got a friend, he's hungry. And because, the Bible says, because of his importunity, he said, I might as well get it up and get him what he wants so he'll leave me alone. I'm talking about soliciting a miracle. Hey, when's the last time you, hey, God, I'm over here, right here. Sometimes those, when I teach children's church up there, it's the same three or four that raise their hand. Hey, I want to participate. You know what? I usually choose them because they're soliciting me. I'm soliciting them. They start soliciting me because they want to participate. And people that don't want to participate, I don't choose them. All the things of God require that you seek after them. You must solicit them. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You want a job? Don't just, the Lord's going to send me a job. Need a mate? Lord, send me a mate. Oh, no. That's not how this works. Faith without is dead and abides alone. So how long do you want to be alone? Hungry people, how many have ever been, really hungry. You know, hungry people, you know, if you go to the pantry and you open up the door and you go, no, that don't look good. No, that don't look good. You just got the munchies. Go back to bed. But hungry folks, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, I can't go back to sleep unless I eat. I don't know about you, but that's the way I am sometimes. And I wake up and I get out of that warm bed and my feet hit that cold tile and I'll walk in there to that refrigerator, open that cold refrigerator, and I'm grabbing that bologna, whatever it is. And I don't really care for bologna, but it doesn't matter. And I get me a piece of cheese and I put that cheese on top of it. I don't have time for bread. I just roll it up like a cigar and eat it. Y'all ever done that? Yeah. And one time I forgot to take that little paper off of it. I did. I was so hungry. You know, when you get hungry, you don't care. You don't care because you're hungry. Oh, just feed me something. I don't care. I'm hungry. I love hungry people because they'll beat your door down. When's that next Bible study? Can we keep doing this? They want more and more and more. But you give me somebody that's just full, well, I'll see if I got time next week. I just don't know. I've been real busy. You ain't hungry. You're not hungry. Oh, my Lord, can I preach to y'all this morning? Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after the right thing. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Woo, hallelujah. It matters what you're hungry after this morning. Hallelujah. When you're hungry for the right thing, he said, I'll fill your belly. Lord, I can't wait to teach and preach to you because you're hungry for the right thing. But let me tell you something. If you're hungry for the wrong thing, you'll never be satisfied. Sin, never satisfied. With sin, it's never enough. One drink, not enough. One cigarette, not enough. One shot up or shoot up or whatever, not enough. And if you're not careful, one marriage, one this, well, it's not enough. It never satisfies because you're after the wrong thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right thing, his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. My Bible says he'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It's his riches and your need. But he gets the glory this morning. But sometimes people are so picky that they don't get anything from God. Well, that's not what I had in mind. Okay? You're not hungry enough. Y'all know I got dogs and I love my dogs. And every once in a while, you know, I feed them pretty much the same dog food all the time. They seem to enjoy it. But every once in a while, I like, they're out of that. Well, let me get this right here. And I'll buy a 40-pound bag of that, whatever the other thing is. And I'll get there, and I'll pour that into that bowl, and they go. They're like, where's the other stuff? They were used to eating. Let me tell you, I know Curry Brothers, or Curry and Sons, he's John's here this morning, but I mean, if I used about half that bag, you're not going to take it back, are you? I mean, I didn't think so. What about if I open it and I don't use any of it? Will you take it back? Maybe, okay. You're a good man. I know what to do now. But when you open that bag and you pour it in there, you know, you're stuck with it. Well, I got a little trick for my dogs. I just leave it in the bowl. And you know what? And you know what? I come back the next day, a little bit of that gone.
I come back another day, it's all gone. I pour that in there, they start eating it. Why? Because they know there's nothing else to eat. They know this is it. And until you realize this is it, you're going to keep waiting on something that's not it. That's why Prophet Joel said, this is that was spoken of by the Prophet Joel. This is that, Peter said. So quit waiting on something else. It's not coming. And so I'm telling you, you need to solicit your way to your miracle. And as long as you think something better is coming, something else can happen, you'll never get your miracle. But when you finally say, I don't care how it comes, Lord, I don't care what you do, just do it. You're well on your way to receiving help from the Lord. Hallelujah. And you let him do, as I preached this morning, a new thing in your life. You're waiting on God, but God is waiting on you. God's waiting on you. Anybody ever been solicited before? I got a sign on my front door at the office, is about eye level. It says no soliciting. They can't read. I had them come in. I said, one guy came in. I said, did you see that sign? He said, I'm not soliciting. He had like a load of watermelons. He said, I'm not soliciting. I said, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm peddling. And I said, well, I didn't know there was a difference, and I don't want any watermelons. But can I tell you that every once in a while, a guy will come in there and knock on the door. Hey, you having a good day today? Yeah, what do you want? What do you want? Well, I have some. I'm not interested. Well, and they just keep talking. You ever notice that? The master's just overriding. You already said no, and their master's at soliciting. Listen close to what I'm trying to teach you, because you need a miracle. And so he says, well, I have these shrimp out here. And I'm like, you know, we probably need a few shrimp. I'm not interested. How many count is it? 10 count? Are they fresh? Let me call, see if somebody else wants them. And before long, I got my eyes chest out when I first told him no. Ooh. When's the last time, God, you thought he said no? And he said, but Lord, how good's it going to be, Lord? I really need this. And before long, that guy got what he wanted. You know what? He comes back now. He found him a sucker. Somehow when you solicit things, these guys and ladies, they have the ability to talk right through you, to get their point across. And somehow, and they usually turn around and say, well, you have a blessed day. You ever notice that? You have a blessed day. It didn't sound like it was really, they were really happy and meant that, but that's what a lot of them say. Amen. But when you need a miracle, you have to push through things. Can you say amen? You have to push through things. If you ever wanted to talk to the doctor, well, let me tell you have to push through the receptionist. You have to push through the office manager, maybe the janitor, I don't know. But you have to push through things to get your agenda done. And if you want a miracle, I'm here to tell you, this woman wanted a miracle. And she wanted to see the king. She didn't come to see the men of the kingdom. She came to see the king. And let me tell you, if you want to see the king, you got to deal with the kingdom people. You don't just walk up to the king. You have to go through kingdom people, if you will, and be brought to the king. Honey, she didn't even knock on the door. She just burst her way in there and got at his feet, and she said, Lord, help me. And here they are, all these kingdom people, all these church folks standing around. You want me to get rid of her? She's a solicitor. We don't allow solicitors around here. Is she bothering you? I can't even talk around with her saying, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. I can't talk with her doing that. And they were kingdom people. And they had this sinner woman, this Gentile woman, this Cana woman came in there, and boy, she was just, oh, Lord, help me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And there they were eating fine. You know, they weren't having any problems. My Lord, when's the last time you solicited God, the king, to move on your part? You remember the widow woman? You remember? She said, avenge me of my adversaries. He said, not so. I'm not going to do that. I mean, what was she going to do? Wait for him to come check with her? No. He got to thinking. He said, you know what? She's going to trouble me with her continual coming. Hey, go ahead and avenge her of her adversaries because she's going to trouble. She solicited that miracle, my brothers and sisters. The king didn't contact her. She contacted the king. And she was so persistent that the king said, let her have it. Good grief. I got to get some sleep around here. And so this woman comes in with a sob story. Have you ever noticed solicitors have a sob story? They all have a sob story. Out here, Brother Charlie, you mow grass, they'll stop you on your lawnmower. I just need a little gas money. I'm going to Michigan, and I just need a little gas money to get to Michigan. Well, I just need a little groceries for my 12 kids. It's always a sob story. I had brain surgery yesterday, and I'm not fully recovered yet. I just need a little bit of money to pay my bills. It always seems to be something that they're facing, and it just sounds like a sob story. This lady comes in with a sob story. Here they are at dinner, quiet day, let's say, in the house, and she comes bursting in with a sob. Lord, my daughter, she's grievously vexed with a devil. Give me something. Say something. Do something. And here's all these jokers. Sorry, these disciples standing around there, kingdom people, church-going people, saying, Lord, she's probably lying. Just want some of our bread. Probably just lying. And let me tell you something. When you're dealing with a devil, it's a job for Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. When you're dealing with devils and spirits, you better call on the name of Jesus. And that's what she was doing. She came to Jesus because she was dealing with a devil. And solicitors always have something between them and what they want. And she pressed her way through the door. Hallelujah. And then she pressed her way through all of these other guys standing around here ridiculing her to get to Jesus. What are you willing to do to get to Jesus? And I stand up here and say, if anybody needs a healing, come on up here. You need to be down here now. You need to be soliciting him rather than me soliciting you. Amen. Somehow this lady gets through all of them, through the crowd, and she gets to him. She began to cry and to solicit him, saying, Jesus, my daughter is vexed with the devil. Do something. And he just like didn't want to act, ignored her. And she began to do what you need to do to get God's attention. Worship him. And when she began to worship him, he began to point his attention to her. Hallelujah. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. How many of you have a dog in the house and you're not ashamed of it? Don't they stay around the table? Oh, they're on your table. I'm not eating at your house. They clean your dishes. Don't call me. But that little dog is standing in their eyes. And they're watching your hand to your mouth, your hand to your mouth. They're just hoping you mess up. And every once in a while, I mess up intentionally, you know. Just, oops, my wife says, don't give him anything. Oh, it's an accident. Just an accident. It's not meet for me to take what I should give my children and give to your child. Go on. The bread belongs to the Jews. I came to seek my own. I'm sorry, but I don't have time for you. And she said what got her deliverance. Truth. Truth. You're right. You are so right. This does belong to them. But dogs stay under the table and they wait for a crumb. So y'all just go ahead and eat. Go ahead and do it, and I'll just wait here for my crumb. And you see, what she knew, oh my Lord, what she knew was what I call crumology. It's the study of crumbs. And what she knew that inside of that crumb, oh hallelujah, that whatever was in the loaf was in the crumb.
that if there was sugar in the loaf, there was sugar in the crumbs. If there was help in the loaf, there was help in the crumb. If there was healing in the loaf, there's healing in the crumb. And as powerful as Jesus is, you don't need but just a crumb. Hallelujah. You don't need the whole loaf. All you need is one touch. Hallelujah. And he can resurrect you from your problem. She understood that. Yay, Lord, you're right. But all I need is a crumb. And watch what happened. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. I've never had anybody say it like that before. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. Hallelujah. You just got your crumb. Hallelujah. That's all he needs is you to believe in the crumbs. If you notice, Jesus never left anything behind. They always picked up the fragments when they got through with the miracle. As they get ready to come this morning, do you need a miracle? Are you facing something this morning that if God don't do it, it won't get done? Amen. You have to be willing. I'm going to teach you the process of soliciting for a miracle. See, even Jesus ignored her. But she walked out with what she wanted. She came in, she just pushed her way through. If you're going to wait on the right time, just keep your seat. But if you are, I'm telling you, I know you've been in this a long time. I have never seen anybody that couldn't wait any longer to get the Holy Ghost or get healed that they didn't just burst out of their pew and they didn't get it. Tell me if you've ever seen them not get it. Never. Because they had had enough. I wish that preacher shut up so I could get my healing. And until you get to that point, hallelujah, you're hungry enough for the right things, and you realize that just a touch of his hand and your whole problem is solved, you might as well stay complacent and stay in your comfort zone. You have to meet rejection when you're soliciting. You meet confrontation. And the people that told you no, you got to convince them to say yes. Jesus said, the loaf is for my children. And she said, you're right. You're right. They get the loaf. Give me the crumbs. As you stand this morning, you know what she was saying? Lord, look at them. They're wasting the loaf. They've had you all this time and they're wasting the loaf. I know you came for your children. They don't even want you. I do. I want you. I desire you. And what they were wasting, she wanted. What you throw away, she wanted. That if one crumb hits my floor, that dog is on it so fast. You know why? Waiting. Waiting. Patiently waiting. Make a few false starts a couple of times. Oh. She was waiting. And when that crumb hit the floor, honey, she grabbed that. She was gone. Hallelujah. And that same hour that she got the crumb, the devil had to leave. A crumb kicked the devil out of her daughter. Is there anybody this morning that wants a crumb? Hallelujah. Would you come this morning expecting God to do something for you? Come this morning expecting him, hallelujah, to give you what you need. Oh, hallelujah. Don't let him pass by and not get a crumb. Oh, to hear.